Our reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Happy New Year! Or at least Happy New Church Year. After today's reading, it may not feel like something to celebrate, but today is the first Sunday of the new church year. We're kicking off Advent, the season before Christmas. Advent is traditionally a quieter contemplative season, like the season of Lent before Easter. It's a chance to prepare ourselves, take a look at our hearts and our lives and our relationship with God, and reorient ourselves toward Christ. Advent is a time when we put ourselves in the shoes of the people who are waiting for the Messiah to come, waiting with hope for God's promise. And it's also a time when we look ahead for Jesus' return at the end of time. So we start out on the first Sunday of Advent with an apocalyptic reading. Now, apocalypse does not mean disaster, and it shouldn't be a scary word, despite the books and movies that heighten drama by using that word. Apocalypse means revealing or uncovering or unveiling. It's a text that does some revealing about what God's promises are in the future, what God's purpose is. The images apocalyptic texts use can be scary at times, but they all point to the fact that despite the evil in the world, God is in control, and God wins in the end. These texts were usually written to people who were persecuted or who were living in extremely difficult situations to encourage them, not to scare them. They were messages of hope. Like today's reading, it can sound a bit threatening, like you might turn a corner and your coworker will have disappeared. But it was a message of encouragement to people who were losing hope. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, which was probably written around the year 80 to 100 CE, after Jesus' death, and very significantly after the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple around 70 CE. The destruction of the temple was about the worst disaster imaginable for the Jewish people, which of course included many Jesus followers. It's hard for us to grasp how devastating that event was for them. But it was the end of the way of life they knew. Their worship, their culture, how they encountered God, their very place in the world. And for the Jesus followers, they were wrestling with why Jesus hadn't come back yet. He had said things that made them believe that he would come back before the first disciples died. Paul's letters are full of urgency about being ready for Jesus' return at any moment. But several decades later, Jesus hadn't come back yet. So as the earliest generations were dying, there was an increasing sense of anxiety. One of my seminary professors summed up this anxiety with this question: what's taking so long, Jesus? So the Gospel of Matthew puts extra emphasis on what Jesus said about keeping awake and being ready. Today's reading is part of a much longer speech where Jesus is warning the disciples to remain vigilant. It's encouraging the people to remain focused on God's work in the present and to keep trusting Jesus' promises. It's a message of always be ready. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but that's no reason to stop doing God's work now. Keep going. Don't lose heart. Now that it's been a couple thousand years and Jesus still hasn't come back, we might need some of the same encouragement. It's easy for us to get so wrapped up in our lives and forget that Jesus said he was coming back anytime. It's easy to get comfortable, to plan for the future, and have expectations of what our lives will look like when not a single moment is promised to us. It's easy to turn on the faucet and forget how many people around the world don't have access to clean water. It's easy to see someone in need and rush by, feeling bad for them, but not stopping to help because we're in a rush, we're busy, we might not know how to help. And it's easy to live side by side with people for years and never mention the hope we find in Jesus. Just like Jesus warns that in Noah's time, people were eating and drinking and celebrating and didn't realize what was going on around them. It's not that living our lives is a bad thing, but we're also supposed to stay awake to what's going on around us and to what God is doing in the world. It's not wrong to appreciate the comforts of our lives. We just celebrated a holiday where we gave thanks for our family, for our friends, and the abundance that we've been given. Over the next few weeks, we'll be adorning our homes, showing the hospitality and generosity to each other, and doing kindnesses for people in need. And those are really good things, especially when we appreciate them and give thanks to God and share our goodwill and abundance with others. But that's not all there is. Jesus reminds us that God calls us to remain awake to what God is doing in the world. So what does it mean to keep awake in our world today? It means that we don't get so caught up in our lives that we lose sight of Jesus. Especially in this busy, festive time, it's easy to get so focused on what you need to bring to the next party that you can hardly catch your breath. There's so much to appreciate and be grateful for. How can we remember to pause and savor those sweet moments? So as we celebrate, light a candle, write a thank you note, do something to make someone else's life better, and talk to God as you do it, and listen too. Keeping awake also means that we keep doing God's work in the world. We don't wait for Jesus' return by hunkering down and ignoring the needs of our neighbors. There are people made in God's image all over the world who are suffering, in need, and lonely. When the people in our reading today are taken, they're taken from their work. They're in the field or grinding grain. They're not sitting and waiting for Jesus to come back. God is at work in the world. Let's participate. And most of all, keeping awake means remembering that even though there is evil in the world, God is in control, and God wins in the end. As much as it might not seem like it sometimes, the future is certain and hopeful, and the present is full of God's beautiful work, and we get to be part of it. So keep awake and remain in hope, because God is faithful and Jesus keeps his promises. Amen. Our worship continues with our offering.